Yesterday we went too fast, some said. So we'll go a little slower this morning. The translator said it'd be better to translate a whole paragraph instead of just a sentence at a time. But it's probably better to translate the sentence or two each time. Chapter 4 of our Bible Today book starts with superior technique of translation. We're going to begin with superior translation technique. Technique means the method of translating, how you do it. Translation method is very important. You can have the best manuscripts, the finest translators, but if you don't translate with the proper method, all is wrong. Our translation method of the King James Bible is three things, or two things really. Our King James Bible men always use verbal equivalents, wherever possible, verbal equivalents. That is the words from Hebrew to English or Spanish or Chinese. Or from Greek into English or Chinese or whatever language, the word, verbal equivalent. Formal equivalence means the forms of the words. They reject what they call dynamic equivalence. Again, verbal equivalence means translating words from Hebrew and Greek into English. What does that Hebrew word mean, or what does that Greek word mean in English? It was used by the King James Bible, but rejected by the modern version. Sometimes the modern versions do translate words, but that's not one of their purposes. They're happy with just translating meaning or general ideas. But we must have the words of Hebrew and Greek into English, or into any language into which it's translated. The second form of method is what they call the formal equivalence. That preserves the word forms from Hebrew and Greek into English. We have many forms of speech in our English language. You probably have many forms in Chinese. We have nouns and pronouns and adjectives and adverbs. Whenever possible, the same forms that the Hebrew or Greek had should be translated into English. And when I say English, I'm talking about any language in which we translate, including Chinese, Japanese, German, so on. But I'm using English because we're talking about the King James Bible. If it's a noun in the Hebrew or Greek, bring it over into the English as a noun. If the form is a verb, bring it over into the English as a verb, wherever possible. There are always idioms or special expressions. Well, this is not possible. But wherever possible, whatever form you have in the Hebrew or Greek, bring it over into the English. That's formal equivalence. It was used by the King James Bible, but rejected by the modern English version. The modern English versions, like the New King James, New American Standard, New International Version, often change nouns into pronouns. They change pronouns into nouns. They change verbs into nouns. Nouns into verbs. When God uses a certain form of speech, He wants the form to be translated accurately. Now, a legitimate translation has been defined as follows. We'll take it briefly and slowly. A legitimate translation should convey as much of the original text in as few words as possible. And yet preserve the original atmosphere and emphasis of the original. The translator should strive for the nearest approximation in words in concepts and in cadence. Cadence is like beats and rhythm. He should scrupulously, very definitely avoid adding any words. He should avoid adding ideas not demanded by the text, which is exactly what they do in dynamic equivalents. His job is not to expand or to explain, but to translate. He's to preserve the spirit and force of the original. Even if need be at the expense of modern colloquialisms.
Or
modern speech forms. So long as the resultant translation is intelligible and understandable. That's from translation to paraphrase with Bible Memory Association pages 1 and 2. That's a good definition of what translation is. The word translation comes from two Latin words in English. Comes from trans and locus. Trans is a cross. Locus is the past participle of pharaoh, which means to carry. Trans locus means to carry a cross. It means to carry across from Hebrew or Greek into English or Spanish or French or Chinese. If you're carrying something across from this side of the room to that side of the room, you must pick up everything here and bring all of it over there. You should not drop anything out. Should not add anything extra. Should not change it at all. Bring it all across. That's proper translation. We have some further definition of what a translation is. Certainly many words and even passages in an acceptable translation of the Bible will benefit from a more extended treatment. But such a treatment belongs in a commentary, not in a translation. You can make comments in a commentary, but that should not be a part of translation. Rowena, there's one here. You like? Okay. Is it Rowena? Okay, okay. So, we expect in a translation the closest approximation to the original text of the Word of God. That linguist and philological science can produce. Linguist is one that, that deals with translating words. Philological science means the science of proper understanding words. The definition continues. This is very important. We want to know what God said, not what Dr. So-and-so thinks God meant by what he said. Do you want to know what God said? If you're an English speaking student, you would find what God said in the King James Bible translation. And I hope soon you'll be able to have an accurate translation in your Chinese to know what God actually said. You will not know always what God said in the New King James, the New International, or the New American Standard Version. 2,000 places, dynamic equivalency was used in the New American, New King James Version. I studied from Genesis to Revelation and tabulated the different things they added, subtracted, and changed. So you don't find what God said in the New King James Version. I went from Genesis to Revelation in the New American Standard Version also. I found over 4,000 examples of adding, subtracting, and changing God's words in the New American Standard Version. So you don't know what God said in 4,000 plus places in the New American Standard Version. I did the same for the New International Version, Genesis to Revelation. I found over 6,653 examples of adding, subtracting, and changing God's words. And I stopped counting, many, many thousands more. So the New International Version, you do not know what God said in over 6,600 places. But you do find in the NIV what Dr. So-and-so thinks God meant by what he said. First, you have to know, what God said. Then it's up to the Holy Spirit of God to help you understand what that means. But if you have somebody's meaning first, you'll never know what God said. There's a great difference between the two. And we intrude into holy ground when we ignore the distinction. Now, there are inferior translation techniques of the modern versions. The inferior modern English versions reject verbal equivalent. They don't care if the words line up. They don't care if the words agree, Hebrew to English, Greek to English. The only thing they understand or appreciate is the thoughts or the ideas, but not words necessarily. They also reject formal equivalence. Occasionally the forms line up. Line up, I mean agree, but many times they don't agree the form. That's not one of the methods that they use. They can change a noun to a pronoun, pronoun to a noun. Different forms can be changed. That's dynamic equivalence. So what is dynamic equivalency? Dynamic means moving. Equivalence means staying the same. Can you move and stay the same at the same time? I'd like to ask each of you a question. Two questions. Number one. Stand up and sit down at the same time. Now, you failed. Question number two. Be quiet and speak up at the same time. Go. You failed again. That's dynamic equivalent. It's meaningless. In Latin, we call it non sequitur. Non sequitur. Doesn't follow. It's a contradiction in terms. But it sounds wonderful. People like the sound of dynamic equivalent. It was first used in the New International Version preface. Yes, question.
Can you give us an example of the dynamic equivalence between the different versions?
All right, that example of dynamic equivalence in the different versions. All right, we'll come to that as we come a little along. We'll see a little bit longer. So we'll add to that. Yeah. You'll see examples in the New King James, New American Standard, New International Version. A little bit later, specifically. That's a good question. And if you have other questions, please, as we move along, let's have a question. We'll be glad to answer. And if I'm moving too quickly, raise your hand. And if you have questions, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Okay? So, dynamic equivalency is opposite to each other. Doesn't make sense. It's senseless. It's ignorant. But the New International Version used it in the preface. They said, we do not like or use verbal equivalence. We use dynamic equivalence. Meaning just the thoughts and the ideas. Let me give you an example of thought equivalence. Something went from the front of the room to the back of the room. That's a thought, right? That's an idea, right? But what went from the front to the back? What was it? Was it a dog? Was it a cat? Was it a man? A woman? A boy? A girl? Did that person hop? Did that person jump? Does that person run? Does that person go on the stomach? You see, a thought is not enough. We must know exactly what things are. Dynamic equivalence doesn't care exactly what things are, just the general idea. Now, what dynamic equivalence really does is three things. It adds to God's words, which is sin. It subtracts from God's words, which is sin. Or it changes God's words in some other way, which is also sin. Now, there are seven things beginning with D in English that the dynamic equivalency is. First, it's diabolical. That is, it was the method used by the devil in the Garden of Eden, was it not? He added, subtracted, and changed God's word. I don't say that those that are translating are diabolical. But I'm saying if they use this method, their method is diabolical. Whether that person translating is Christian or non-Christian. It's possible for Christians to use diabolical methods, is it not? They shouldn't use the methods that are diabolical, but they do in some of these translations. Second, it's deceptive. It deceives people. They think they have a translation when it's not. It's a paraphrase, a perversion. But it's determined. This method is determined to succeed. All of the modern English versions use this method, and they determine to throw out the proper method of translation. To a greater or lesser extent, these new versions use the dynamic equivalency method. It's dishonest. Because it claims to be a translation when it's not an accurate translation at all. It's deifying of man. Why do I say deifying of man? Because man can add, subtract, and change what God has made. Therefore, in a sense, man becomes like God. It's blasphemy. How dare they touch the words of the living God? Six, is disobedient because God said, do not do it. And it is disapproved by God. Because again, he says, do not do this method. Don't add to my words, don't change my words, don't subtract from my words. Translate them accurately. Now, we have many adjectives about dynamic equivalency, in addition to these seven. There are 75 altogether. All beginning with D. We're not going to translate all these. It would take too much time. But you read them, study them. I believe that everyone applies to the dynamic equivalency method.
你把它详细的读去明了，这个就是形容这些动态性的相等性。
There's a few more. 75 in all. They're in the book. It's not in the King James Bible.
I spent some time to look at the dictionary. Yes. Just once. Halfway.
And what happened?
Yeah, all of them are bad, right?
Yes, that's what all.
我尽量去找字典，然后不会的，就是这个就是欺骗人，这些是伪造，这些是亵渎，那个武装，这个是可憎恶的，就是不好的事情。Good,
see, there's some homework.
Yes,
the time you spent. Good. You thought it was going to be necessary. Well, too much time to take, but you look those over.
真的有太多的时间。
Mrs. Waite said that too many words.
我的太太已经告诉我。
She said, cut them down to 7. I cut them down to 7, but I still put them in my book, all 75. No, after you take the time to look up those words and find those words, use them. Maybe somebody will like these words rather than the other 7 that I picked. Here's the final ones. The last one, it's a death blow to the words of God in the Bible.
总而言之，这个动态的相等性呢，是对上帝的话语一个很大的打击。
It's a sad method of translating.
这个是一个很可悲的一个情况，翻译的方法。
Now, the Future of the Bible is a book by Jacob van Bruggen, a Dutchman, in Netherlands.
是一个荷兰人，他写的这一本书据说圣经将来的情况会怎么样？
There's a sun over the Bible here. I don't agree with everything in this book. He likes the New International Version and so on. He criticizes this dynamic verbosity method of translation. And he asks the question, is this sun over the Bible a rising sun or a setting sun?
太阳已经在出来，或是已经在下落，在向下。
He says it's a setting sun.
他说已经是越来越在下降的那个情况。
He says fewer and fewer Bibles, whole Bibles, are being translated all over the world.
这个很多人在翻译圣经。
They're translating just portions of Bible.
他们只翻译某一部分。
The United Bible Societies only translate whole Bibles if they're paid to do it specifically. In this book he gives the number of whole Bibles in this year, this year, this year, smaller and smaller and smaller whole Bibles, Genesis to Revelation. So the United Bible Societies all over the world is translating fewer and fewer whole Bibles in many, many languages of the world. That is a sad thing indeed. There's another book called Translating the Word of God by Beekman and Keller. This is like a standard reference for Bible translators all over the world. They give some very, very bad advice to translators. We want to show a few of their suggestions for translating. The first is the error of handling implicit information.
他们的一个错误就是说，这个他们怎么样来回复这个不严明的那些资料
？Implicit information is that which is implied or suggested.
这个是一个含义，它的建议。
How does anybody know what's implied by anything?
我们怎么样知道它的含义呢？
When I say this is a pretty room, how do you know what I'm implying other than what I say?
如果我说这个房间很美，你会知道那个含义呢？
What's implied by me may be implied something else by you or someone else.
可能你有其他的解释。
But they say if something you think is implied in the scripture, you can go ahead and add it.
可以的，你那个含义你可以再放其他的事情。
For instance, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the King James Bible says, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And they say, well, you can add these words because we think that there may be implied. Even so, then which also sleepeth is, will God bring with him when he descends from heaven? You don't put in what's implied in a translation. When a pastor, Sunday school teacher, mother or father explains these verses, you can tell them. He's talking about when he descends from heaven. You can explain that. But you never, never, never add it in a translation. Remember, translation from translatus means carrying across from one language into another. Only what you find there, bring it over. Don't subtract anything, don't add anything, don't change anything. Bring it all over, don't drop it in the middle. All the way over. You never put implications in a translation. Yet this book, translating the Word of God, suggests that's all right to do in all the languages of the world. And many languages are doing this. Translators are doing this all over the world in their Bibles. Here's another implicit thing. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. The Bible is clear and says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Wickman and Callow suggest, you can add, he has given us the spirit in the middle of that verse. They say it's implied, so they add it. You should never add it in the translation. Here's another example, Luke 4,
29 and 30.
It said they tried to cast him down headlong. And then verse 29, they said, if you want to, you can say that they might cast him down headlong, but they could not cast him down, and they say these words are implied, and so we put them in. Beekman and Callow's book, Translating the Word of God, suggests translators may do this. In effect, in reality, translators should never do this. This is dynamic equivalency adding to the words of God. Then there's another rule about explicit information. Explicit means that which is clearly stated. That's that which God the Holy Spirit gave specifically in the Bible. But they say if you don't like it, or if it's repetitious, you can drop out one and leave the other. For instance, in Luke 1:18. It says, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Both expressions, old and well stricken in years, indicate age. God the Holy Spirit gave those words, both of them, in that verse. But Bigman and Callow, in translating the Word of God, says you can drop out one or the other if you wish. Therefore, subtracting from the words of God. Another example of explicit information. Luke 8:35-38. You notice there's a repetition of the idea of the devils were departed. In verse 36, he that was possessed of the devils. Verse 38, the man out of whom the devils were departed. They say there are three different times the same general idea is used. God the Holy Spirit wanted all three in His words in the Bible. Beekman and Callow said the Holy Spirit was redundant and repetitious, and we don't need all three. Throw out two of the three and just keep one. That is sin. Subtracting the words of God. That is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, saying he couldn't have put that in there. Now there's a tract called By the Word. It's a little booklet by Lynn Silvernail, a lady in Bangladesh. It's called The Priority and Process of Bible Translation. She was serving under ABWE mission. Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. She thought this was good to use this dynamic equivalency method in her translation in the Bengali Bible. So this method is not simply by the modernists and liberals, but by Bible believing Christians using this method. Now some examples. The lady asked about for some examples. We start with the New King James Version. But do you have some questions before we proceed? Yes, ma'am.
The Beekman.
Yes.
The two people, why do they become standards for people to translate?
All right. Why do Beekman and Callow become standards? Because the book they wrote, translating the Word of God, was circulated among all the various missions of the world. And so many of the missionaries followed that book because they thought that it had the best suggestion. I'm sure there's some perhaps that did not agree with the decisions and the conditions. But that has become more or less the standard Bible translation reference.
Even today.
Yeah, I think even today. So other questions?
So,
yes.
That means that's no good standard book about translation?
That's no good standard book about translation? On the sheet that you have, Bible for Today, number 3302, called Word for Word Translating the Received Text. Dr. H.D. Williams.
It's
on the back of the page, the second from the bottom. From the bottom. That's an excellent book. All the principles that should be followed are mentioned in this book. There's no other book like it written. Dr. Williams is a good friend of mine. Other questions?
The Baptist Church, the Baptist Organizations Association, they emphasize on Christian education, right? So do they also follow this Beekman? They also based on this Beekman, principles?
In other words, through the translators from the ABWE, Associates of Baptist World Evangelism, follow Big McCallum. They follow a man by the name of can't think of his name. He's one of the leaders of the United Bible Society. And that man, not Beekman Calla, but the man that agrees with him, and he wrote booklets and books telling people how to translate the scripture. He classifies Bibles in idiomatic and non-idiomatic. Idiomatic meaning loose or not loose. And then there's strict literal, not so literal, strict idiomatic, not so idiomatic, not so loose. And she follows that method of that particular gentleman. Wish I could remember his name, but he's a man that's written many books. He was the head of the Wycliffe Bible Translators, the American Bible Society, the United Bible Society. And he has been the source of much of this dynamic equivalency throughout all the years since 1940s. Perhaps his name will come to me a little bit later. Other questions? All right, let's proceed then with some examples of the dynamic equivalency in the New King James Version. You notice there are over 2,000 examples that I've found of dynamic equivalency in the New King James Version. I compared it with the underlying Hebrew and Greek text. This is Bible for Today number 1442. It's available in our Bible for Today ministry. There is a summary of the categories that criticize the New King James. I add these same things that are added, subtracted, or changed. Now notice adding things for pages 1 to 3 in my book. 63 examples of adding things, 3% of the total. Notice adding adjectives, adverbs, nouns. Notice even adding nouns for deity and adding other nouns. They can add God's name anytime they wish, even though it's not in the Bible. Adding prepositional phrases, pronouns, verbs, or miscellaneous things. So I give the pages in my BFT number 1442 where these additions are found, examples. Then there are changes, different changes in the words of God. Total examples, 856 changes. 42% of the 2,000 examples of dynamic equivalency. I give all the changes, adjectives, adverbs, different parts of speech all the way down to the end. Notice changing nouns, 446 changes, 22% of the changes changing nouns. Here's some non-Masoretic texts and non-Textus Receptus changes. Now I count these as changes when they change the Hebrew text 48 times. And I count them changes when they change the non-textual receptus, when they change the textual receptus 772 times. Because they're changing the words of God by not using the proper Greek text. Notice the omissions of things. 295 omissions, 15% of omissions, just dropping them out, subtracting.
漏掉的是有295的地方，差不多15%。
Here's the various omissions and adjectives. So notice omissions of nouns.
他也改了那个漏掉的一些名词。
One time they omit the nouns for deity, just once at least.
有一次他漏掉了那个神性的那个名词。
Omitting subjunctive mood, 232 times.
他也漏掉了那个假设的语气。
You may not understand what subjunctive mood is in English, but that's a special mood. So the total, 2,034 additions, subtractions, or changes in the New King James Version. Here's some examples that the lady asked about here. Genesis 1:26. The King James Bible and the Hebrew says, over all the earth. But the Syriac says all the wild animals of the earth. So in the footnotes of a study edition, the New King James Version suggests adding all the wild animals. Not found in Hebrew. Should not be added. Now there's two things I want you to understand about the New King James Version. The words that are found in the top of the New King James and the words in a study edition in the footnotes of New King James. This is a study edition with all the footnotes. And some of the footnotes say, oh, the Westcott and Hope text reads this way. Or the majority Greek text reads this way. So they suggest you don't have to take what's up on top, you could go in the bottom and change these words if you wish. You can be your own textual critic. Notice Genesis 4, verse 8. Both the King James and the New King James in the text says, Cain talked with Abel his brother. Cain talked with Abel his brother. But in the study edition of the New King James, in the footnotes, they suggest LXX, Syriac, Vulgate, Samaritan Pentateuch says, let's go out in the field.
其他的那个新钦定本呢，他会根据那个70的史译本跟那个巴蒂冈的版本，他说我们出去到那个别处去。
Let's go out in the field is not in any Hebrew text at all.
这个两个人，我们中文也是这样说，我们两个人正在田野，他们。
But by its footnote in the study edition, the New King James suggests you can add it if you wish. Let's go out in the field.
我们一起出去。
In the back of that suggested study edition of the New King James, they say, we've added this so that you can be your own choice what you want to put into the Bible. Take 10 minutes, please. Let us continue in the New King James. Well, we said before the hour stopped that the New King James Version, the footnotes, says you can add, let's go out to the field. So these are some examples that you asked about earlier. There's some others. Genesis 4, verse 15. Now, both the King James and the New King James say, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, therefore whoever kills Cain, similar, in the top of the text. But in the footnotes of the study edition, the Septuagint, the Syriac, the Vulgate say, not so.
是在那个七十的那个十亿本呢，或是那个巴迪冈的草本。
They add the words "not so whosoever kills Cain," something like that.
好像再加上这个字说 "not so"
6:15a.
还有6:15节.
Both the King James and the New King James shall not always strive, shall not strive. Very similar. In the text at the top.
英文的那个两种的清定本呢，就是很相似。
But they suggest in the footnotes, the Septuagint and the Latin Vulgate shall not abide instead of strive.
这个那个七十的那个十亿本跟那个巴迪冈的草本呢，它还有注脚说，shall not abide.
Not stay, it will not remain.
就是不是藏在一起。
Completely different.
完全不一样。
Genesis 18, verse 11, A.
还有18章的11节。
The King James says, cease not to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And the New King James is completely different. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing.
是你如果这样比较好，那个新的钦定本跟钦定本有它的地方，就是他说那个撒拉已经过了那个生孩子的那个年龄。
The manner of women is not the same as the age of childbearing.
这个清定本是说那个女人的情况跟那个生小孩的情况也不一定是一样。
Then in Genesis 19:17. Both the King James and the text and the New King James say the same. He said.
他说,
but in the Septuagint, Syriac, and Latin Vulgate. They change it and suggest they can say they said. It changes the number of the pronoun from singular he to plural they. In Genesis 20, verse 16a. All right. Sister, oh good, we have an assistant. The King James says, behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes. And the New King James changes, this vindicates you. Nothing about eyes. Drops out the eyes completely. Drops out covering. Not verbal equivalence, but dynamic equivalence. Genesis 27, verse 46. The King James says, if Jacob take, and the New King James, if Jacob takes.
那个字在英文就是说两个哪个。
It's omitting the subjunctive mood in English.
这个就是它除掉了那个语气，改变了那个语气。
In our English language, you have an indicative mood and a subjunctive mood.
在英文的那个字法呢，有不同的那个语气。
Indicative is positive and correct.
就是不同的那个语气。
Subjective is just possible, possible, not for sure, but possibly. We say if Jacob take, if he might take, not sure, but if he might take, subjunctive mood. After an if clause especially, we have subjunctive. If usually takes subjunctive mood, if possibly he take, he might take. New King James wipes out subjunctive mood, said if he takes, he said he's really going to take.
就是如果英文呢，就两个不一样的那个语气。
That's a very slight difference, but it's very hard to understand. But it is a difference. In Genesis 29, 9a. King James Bible says she kept them. Very simple, she kept them. But the New King James says that she was a shepherdess.
New King James
shepherdess is not in the Hebrew text at all. She kept them. Where's the them in the New King James? It's gone. That's dynamic equivalence, very clear, very clearly. Another example, Genesis
29:23.
The King James Bible has him, the New King James has Jacob. Changes a pronoun into a noun. Jacob does not exist in the Hebrew text in this verse. I realize this is very simple and very similar, not too great, but it's a difference and a terrible difference. Even though Jacob may make sense, that was referring to Jacob, the Hebrew does not say it was Jacob, it says him. If you want to know what God said, He said him, not Jacob. This is slight, it's not too important, but we've got to understand their differences, they're not accurate. If you can't trust the New King James in this verse, how do you know you can trust it anyway? Wait, we say in English they're playing fast and loose with truth and with words. Genesis 29:38. The King James Bible says that he went in, and the New King James, Jacob also went in. Change the pronoun to a noun. It says he, not Jacob. Now it's true, it refers to Jacob. That's true, but it doesn't say so in translations to translate what's there. In addition, the word also is not in the Hebrew. It's just he went in, not also. You say that doesn't make much difference. All right, so it doesn't make much difference. It makes a difference. They should not do it. It's not translation, it's paraphrase and dynamic translation. Again, Genesis 30:29, Genesis 31:1, he said, Jacob said, he heard Jacob. Again, changing pronouns to nouns. Are your Chinese Bibles clear on these things? You're following along on the Chinese?
Jacob.
It says Jacob? Aha. Dynamic equivalency, Chinese Bible. Follow along and inform me when you're done. Yes, nothing. Yes.
The New King James, it translates like a base on a King James or the other reference.
The is the New King James based on the King James or another reference? The New King James in the Old Testament is supposedly based on the same Hebrew that the King James is based on. But the translation method and technique is dynamic equivalence, not verbal equivalence. That's why they can change it from him to Jacob.
So the text is like the original Hebrew.
The same text, but different methods. Translation method, very important. You can have the same text, but the wrong method, everything wrong.
Why do they allow them to call James then?
Why do they call the
changes?
I believe it's to confuse the people. I believe it's the most dangerous version of any.
The purpose is to make people understand, or what?
It's the most dangerous version because it's confusing people. They say, oh, it's just the same, very little difference, the King James, New King James, who cares? It's confusing. There are probably 80,000 different words in the New King James versus different changes, about 80,000, roughly. Many of them are just synonyms and they're all right. But I found over 2,000 that are not right. That's small compared to 4,000 with the New American Standard or 6,600 with the NIV. I don't want any dynamic equivalency. And this is what we have in our New King James in certain places. I go to the New Testament, Ephesians 1, verse 10. Both the top of the King James and the top of the New King James are the same in Christ, both which are. But notice the footnote of the study edition and New Text, the National United Bible Society text, says in Christ which are. They leave out both. Small change, but a change. Therefore, you cannot trust always. You don't know what not to trust and what to trust. Ephesians 3:9a, fellowship of the mystery. Fellowship of the mystery, same on the top of the New King James and King James. But the footnote in the study edition says the Nestle and United Bible Study, the Westcott and Hort text, changes this fellowship to stewardship of the mystery. Different word. Anybody following Chinese on this one? Stewardship? Stewardship, yes.
Not fellowship.
Not fellowship. So it changes this text, Chinese follows United Bible Society. Notice Ephesians 3:9b. The King James in the top says, created all things by Jesus Christ. The New King James created all things through Jesus Christ. Similar. But the footnote suggests, the National United Bible Society suggests that they created all things. They leave out by Jesus Christ. Chinese?
God's name, but
Genesis, Ephesians 3:9.
There's no Jesus.
No Jesus Christ in there. Left out. Christ is not the creator, according to Nestle Allenthal. Ephesians 3:14. The top King James and New King James, similar, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, similar in the top of the text. But in the footnote, National United Bible Society text, just to the Father, not our Lord Jesus Christ. Chinese?
No.
No Jesus Christ. It's gone. They follow United Bible Society, Westcott and Hort text. Ephesians 4:6. The top, similar in the reading, in you all, and in you all, King James, New King James. But the National United Bible Society text says in all, not you, they leave out the you. Ephesians 4:9. Similar in the text, The King's English, he also descended first. New King's English, he also first descended. Similar in the upside of the text. But in the footnotes, the National United Bible Society, he also descended, not first, just also descended, not the first, leave out first.
In the footnotes.
Yes, sir.
On the end of right hand side, you have a star in the first group.
The star? Well, the star means non Texas receptive.
That part of state, because the other slide has different.
Yes. See, the stars I put on Texas, non-Texas stuff. See, there's no stars on this one. There's stars in next one. See, stars. Oops, I missed the star. Well, I got stars. Yeah, stars. Stars when it's non-Texas stuff is in the footnote.
它下面有那个注脚，就说这个故事在那个工人的。Because
technically, I'm not talking about the translation, I'm talking about the text they used in their translation. And the change they suggest in their footnotes. And I believe the footnotes are just as dangerous as what's up on the top text.
H-U text and the N-U
text. That's a typographical error. Should be N-U text. Not H, should be M. I made a mistake. So change HU to NU. N stands for Nestle, Alum. U stands for United Bible Society. NU. Both. These are the two major Greek texts today of the critical text, Western Horde text. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4:17. The top is similar, as other Gentiles walk in the King James, as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the New King James. But the footnote, Nestle and United Bible Society say, as the Gentiles walk, not the rest of them. To leave out other, or rest. Are there questions? Just call, if you raise your hand, we'll call anywhere hungry as we go along. Any questions? So. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. For the top of the readings, King James, New King James, for this ye know, for this you know, similar. But the footnote, and that's the United Bible says today, for know this.
新定本跟新定本说你们确实的知道那个
Nestle 跟那个联合的圣经公会呢他说你知道这件事 They take out the U or the E and just like the word know this. In other words, an imperative rather than just a comment.
把那个你的这个字把它拿掉
Ephesians 5:9, the fruit of the Spirit is, the fruit of the Spirit is, King's Andrew, King's Andrew, similar in the text. But the footnote suggests Nestle, the United Bible Society, the Western Cortex, fruit of the light is changing spirit to light. Chinese?
那个其他的经文呢，它就只用的是说光明的那个果子。
Chinese? Pastor, have it? Light.
光明所见的果子.
Not fruit. Light. Okay. You see, we have problems in our Chinese. We're trying to straighten those problems with the proper Chinese. So I want every one of you to pray for David Tsai and Korda Tsai and Dr. Pastor Sun. As they're translating these verses in the New Testament.
So they're
right here in New Jersey. It's in North Jersey, yeah, very close. Pray for those three translating Korda Tsai, David Tsai, Pastor James Soon. Translating Chinese to conform to the text receptors and the King James Bible. Already completed, Matthew through Ephesians. They've come a long way already. Please pray for them. Yes, Pastor.
When did they start to do this?
They started about a year ago, maybe a year and a half. They've been slow. Well, they have a question, they usually email me and say, what is this? And so we reply back and forth. So please pray for them. It's needed. I don't want to downplay your Chinese translation, which you don't have anything else. You have to use what you have. But pray that we get a better one. And the Lord has led this couple and this pastor to do this. Pray, please pray for them and with all of us in this project. Let's go on then for Ephesians 5:21. Both the King James and the New King James have fear of God, but the National United Bible text, the Westcott North text, suggests fear of Christ. Chinese? Is it?
Christ.
Nestle. God. Differences. 8,000 differences, some of them more important than others. But they must be changed, conformed. Ephesians 5:30. King James and New King James, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, similar in the text, but in the National United Bible Study, Westcott and Hort text, they suggest only of his body. Chinese? Of his body? No flesh, no bones. His body. All right? Bracket. Now, brackets means they don't agree it should be there. They put it in just in case. Some ancient scrolls, meaning Vatican and Sinai. Some ancient scrolls. So you see, they don't really believe it. They put it in brackets. That means it's doubtful. All right, any questions on New King James before we move on then to the New American Standard Version? I also took from Genesis to Revelation on the New American Standard Version. I have read the scripture in the King James Bible from Genesis to Revelation on cassette tape. I have those available on cassette tape, also on MP3, one disc, the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, read it. It's available. If you want to get it, we send it to you. I listened with my ears to what the reading, King James Bible. Then my eyes followed the New American Standard Version. When there was a discrepancy and a change, I put it in red and noted it. Then I checked the Hebrew text, Old Testament, Greek text, New Testament, to find out who's right, New American Standard or King James. Almost all of the time, King James right, New American Standard wrong. There are over 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalency in the New American Standard Version. Number 1494P is my book. It's available. You can see what I mean everywhere that is. 187 large pages altogether. Let's take a few examples now. First, a summary chart of the categories of the critical New American Standard Version. Notice that I've summarized the total things that they've added. $231 of these 4,000, 5%, the additions to the scripture. Adding adjectives, adverbs, clauses, nouns. Notice how many nouns they've added for deity, God's name. 26 times they've added God's name. Now let me tell you this. Some of our fundamentalist brethren think the New American Standard is the most accurate Bible in the world. They put that in writing. They seem more accurate than the King James language. How can it be more accurate if I find 4,000 times dynamic equivalency? Then it changed various things. Changes 2,853 or 67% are changes from the Bible. I give all the changes of the different parts of speech, adjectives, adverbs, and so on. But notice the changes of nouns. And changes the nouns for deity, God's name, 29 times. You can't trust the New American Standard Version, the changes. Then the changes of the subject, changes. Notice, changes theological terms 54 times. Theological terms, very important doctrinal terms. Changes theology, doctrine, 24 times. Now also non-Masoretic texts and non-text receptors.
是不是那个马苏拉的那个经文或是那个公认的经文
14 times on Masoretic text, different text.
有14处是那个不是那个马苏拉经文
123 times non-textus receptus, Greek text.
不是公认的经文有123处
Now notice the omissions of various things. 1011, 24% omissions.
它漏掉的差不多有24%。
Omitting different things, adjectives, adverbs, and so on.
它们漏掉了那些名词、动词等等。
Notice omitting the nouns for deity 100 times.
省的这个名词也换了差不多有100次。
How dare they take God's name out of their Bible?
他们为什么他们敢这样子?
100 times, wiped out.
100次。
Omitting other things, total. Of 4,332 additions, subtractions, or changes in the New American Standard Version.
一共呢，就他们漏掉的是有四千三百三十二句。
Let's see some examples. Do you have any questions first before we go on? Questions?
有没有问题?
Okay. Here's an example. In Genesis 2, verse 7. The King James has living soul. The New American Standard living being. Being is changed from soul. Genesis 3:16-8. They changed their sorrow and thy conception changed to pain in childbirth. How many ladies are mothers here today? One? Okay. Is there a difference between conception and childbirth?
是那个受孕跟生出来就是生出来
complete difference
完全不一样
pain in childbirth not sorrow and thy conception what Chinese here what do we have in Chinese what is it well they have alright then it's okay fine good Genesis 6 verse 6 the King James Bible says repented the Lord here the Lord was sorry
6:6
Chinese alright then?
Yeah, 后悔.
Okay. Repent means to change the mind. Doesn't always mean repent of sin. God is not a sinner. But when he repents, he changes his mind about a certain action. Genesis 8, verse 21. King James says his heart, the New American Standard, himself.
八章二十一节那个钦定本是说他的心，然后发那个新的钦定本是说他自己。
Hebrew says heart, and they change the heart, and the heart is gone.
那个心那个字就漏了。
Chinese all right there? His heart good. So apparently in these some of these things everything's fine. Genesis 9 verse 5, King James at the hand of every beast. And change from every beast.
This 9:5节也是有一点的出入，就是这些
The Hebrew there is Yad, it's at the hand. It's literally at the hand of every beast. They change from. Chinese all right here? At the hand, you have hand there? Just from? On the beast. See, these are small and tiny things, but if you can't trust it in small things, how can you trust it in big things? Genesis 9, verse 5, see, at the hand of every man's brother, it's changed it from every man's brother. Chinese all right here? Is a hand there?
There's no hand there. There's
no hand? Okay. No brother either?
There's brother.
Oh, brother, but not the hand. Okay. Yeah, there's a Hebrew word for hand, and it's you know, yeah. No power at the hand, we understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Genesis 15, verse 4. From think, own vows. From your own vows. Maybe I made a mistake in the spelling there, from think, own vows. But maybe from their own vows, maybe instead of from their own vows. From, it must be from their, T-H-E-I-R. I have to change that. Does the Chinese have vowels or body? Body. Genesis 15:5. This is subjective. If it be, and they change it. If it are, if are.
改了那个字，这个书上第五节那个新定本跟新定本不一样的地方。
I don't think the Chinese has subjective mood, does it?
Yes.
Is that? No? Does that? Does not have, you know, okay. So subjective is not a, maybe in Chinese mood. Genesis 15:13, he changed from pronoun to noun, adds a noun to he changed it to God. What's the Chinese have, he or God? What is it? Has God? Hebrew says he changed to God. You can't trust the New American Standard Version. Even if God is meant here, if it's he, you keep it he. You don't change it and add to it God. Remember the definition of translation, translatus. To carry across from one language to the other. Pick up what's there, bring it and drop it over there. Translatus. T-R-A-N-S. Translatus. L-A-T-U-S. Yes. Trans. T-R-A-N-S. Translatus. L-A-T-U-S. And latus is Latin, past participle of the verb fero, F-E-R-O. F-E-R-O, fero, means to carry. So trans is across, fero is carry, to carry across. Just like when God in the King James Bible says he translated Enoch into heaven. He took every part of him to heaven. He didn't leave part of him on earth, didn't take more of him. Every part translated to heaven. That's a perfect idea of what translation is. Yes?
Across.
A-C-R-O-S-S. A-C-R-O-S-S. Trans means across. A-C-R-O-S-S. Yes, one word, across.
Okay. We thought that's across.
Oh, no, you got the cross. Well, no, I'm sorry. Across, yeah. Carry over, carry across. Okay, carry over. Alright, Genesis 16, 6. The King James says hand, and the New American Standard says power. Chinese?
Hand.
Good, you're alright then. Genesis 16:9. Under her hands, change to her authority. Chinese? Hand, you're alright there, okay. Galatians 4:24. Gender is the bondage of the King James, bearing children who are to be slaves in the New American Standard. Chinese? Bondage? For bearing children who are to be slaves. Which is it?
Yeah, there's a bondage.
Yeah, bondage, huh? Okay, good. Galatians 4, verse 7, King James, heir of God through Christ. New American Standard, heir through God, no Christ. Chinese?
No, no Christ.
No Christ, that's wrong. Westcott and Hort text. Ephesians 1 and verse 1 at Ephesus, and at Ephesus both King James and King James, but the footnote suggests one ancient manuscript omits at Ephesus. Chinese? Chinese? At Ephesus? At Ephesus? Is there a bracket? Is it a bracket? Is it a bracket?
No.
No bracket?
No.
Okay, sorry. Good. Good. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated instead of he predestinated. Chinese, having predestinated? Or he? He predestinated?
No.
Having? Having. Okay, good. Ephesians 1, 13. Change his word. Change to message. New American Standard. Chinese?
Word.
Word or message? Good, good. Word, okay. Ephesians 2:17. King James, to them, the New American Standard, peace to those. Adds peace. Chinese? Adds peace, no? Adds peace? That's West Coast North. Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 9. King James, fellowship. New American Standard, administration. Chinese? Which is it? Fellowship or administration? Fellowship, all right? No fellowship. Okay, no fellowship. No, no fellowship. Okay. Change to administration? Change to administration, is it?
There's no such word as fellowship or administration.
Either one. Something else, huh? Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 9. All things by Jesus Christ, the King James, just all things. New American Standard. Chinese? Christ is gone? The Lord Jesus is not the Creator anymore. Jesus Christ is gone? Just all things. All things, huh? It's gone, okay. That's bad. That's West.org, false text. Doctrinal perversion. Doctrinal perversion. Ephesians 3:14a, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the King James, simply Father. New American Standard. Chinese? Holy Father, Christ is gone. That's West God work text. Ephesians 5:2a, loved us, and the non-text loved you. Which is it, loved us or loved you? Us is all right? Good, we got that. Alright, is that us? Okay, look at Ephesians 5:3. King James, fornication, New American Standard, immorality. Chinese?
American Standard Version, 它是说,
what's the Chinese?
In Chinese,
fornication? Okay, good. Ephesians? Oh, yes. Pastor?
What's the difference between
fornication
and adultery?
Fornication and adultery? Well, do you have adultery or fornication? Which is?
In Chinese version, adultery.
What do you have, Sam? Fornication or adultery?
Adultery. Adultery.
Oh. Fornication. Yeah. Fornication, sexual relations on the part of unmarried. Adultery, sexual relations on the part of someone married with another person. So, married? Chinese translation?
We don't
stop
like that. What is it? It could be adultery. Yeah. The stronger word is fornication, right?
Yeah.
Fornication. Generally, fornication and sex relations elicit two people, one of which unmarried. For unmarried, fornication. If they're married and not... Adultery is when people marry and they commit sexual relations with someone, the person other than the spouse, that's adultery. Fornication, sexual relations on the part of unmarried people. Both are sins. Question? Understand? Huh? Any question? Any more questions? Now, the difference between fornication and immorality is what? Anything wrong with the translation here of immorality instead of fornication? What's the difference?
Immorality doesn't necessarily involve sexual relations.
That's right. Immorality doesn't necessarily involve
sexual
relations.
It's immoral
to lie. It's immoral to steal. It's immoral to kill. But you see, that's not sexual sin, immorality. It must be fornication. In Greek, porneia. Porneia. Adultery, moheo. Different words. Porneia, fornication, moheo, adultery. Ephesians 5 verse 5, King James, whoremonger, New American Standard, immoral person. Chinese?
Fornication.
Okay. So, this one I said. Ephesians 5 verse 1, have no fellowship with, do not participate in, as the New American said. Is it participate or fellowship, Chinese? Is fellowship?
Walk together.
Is it fellowship or participation? Is it?
Fellowship,
okay. Fellowship, fine. Now, any questions on the New American Standard before we move to the New International Version? Any questions at all? Question? Yes, question?
Go back one slide.
One slide, okay. This one here? Ephesians 5:5. Whoremonger versus immoral person?
What's the meaning of that?
Whoremonger is one who participates in or promotes a harlotry. One who promotes prostitution. Yes. Okay, other question then? Okay, moving on to... Yes, go ahead. Yes. Immorality? Okay, question right? Oh, yes, sir.
Shall we make it simple for those within marriage? Is so-called adultery. Outside marriage, of course, the concerning sex is fornication. Can we say so?
Okay, you want to answer? It's not as simple as that.
So,
a married person with an unmarried person commits adultery with sexual relations, the unmarried person commits fornication. Same act for the married person is adultery, for the unmarried person is fornication. Both are sins, but two different Greek words, porneia, moikeo. Porneia, fornication, moikeo, adultery. Yes.
That means different word for different person. Yes. Even though same sin.
Same sin, but different word, different person. Other questions? Let's move on then to the New International Version. I did the same thing with the New International Version as with the New King James and the New American Standard Version. I went from Genesis to Revelation. I listened as I read the King James on the tape recorder. And my eyes were focused on the New International Version. Whenever I found any difference, very great difference between the King James and the New International Version, I put it in red. When I finished that particular day, I looked up and see the Hebrew or the Greek, who was right, New International or King James? Almost 100% of the time, King James was right, New International was wrong. I took a little time each day on this. After 2 years and 8 months, I stopped. I didn't think it would be wise to spend the rest of my life looking. But I did find 6,653 examples of dynamic equivalency in the New International Version. Believe me, there are thousands, thousands, thousands more. It's found, this whole thing is found in BFT number 1749P. It's available, you can see every one of these distinctions. Here's a summary of the chart of categories of the New International Version. Notice in the addition of adding things, 1,029, 15% additions of things. Adding adjectives, adverbs, so notice the adding of nouns for deity.
Five hundred sixty-four times
I added God's name when it wasn't there. How dare they put in and add God's name when it's not even there? Terrible blasphemy. Then there's some changes, very changes. 4,381 changes, 66% were changes from the words of God. Changing different things, adjectives, adverbs, and so on. But notice the changes of the nouns for deity. Fifty times they changed the nouns for deity. They didn't like what was in the Hebrew text or the Greek text. Different changes. Then they had non-Masoretic text changes and non-Texas Receptus different changes.
283 times
they had non-Masoretic Hebrew text. 121 times they had a different Greek text, non-Texas Receptus text. Notice the omission of various things. 839 omissions, 13% omitting words. Omitting clauses and there's omitting nouns for deity. 190 times they just changed, dropped off God's name. Total of 6,653 dynamic equivalency. 256 pages documenting all of these things. Let's just take a few examples. Well, let's see, I continue to put many phrases and so on, so 6,653. All right, here's some examples. Genesis 3:15a. Seed in the King James, offspring in the New International Version. Chinese? Seed? Seed? Offspring.
Offspring.
Offspring, okay. Genesis 3.15, again, her seed, instead of hers, dropping out seed, Genesis 3.15b. There's seed in there, in 3.15b? So just hers? Hers? Offspring? All right, you got the seed, you got to change it to offspring, but at least you got the seed. Genesis 3.16. King James, sorrow at my conception, the New International pains in childbearing. That's similar to the New American Standard Version. Chinese? Conception or childbearing? Conception. That's correct. That's fine. And as all you ladies know, and all you husbands know, difference in conception from childbirth. Okay. No translation needed? Yes. In fact, there are usually 9 months difference between those two. Conception, childbirth. Yes, Patrick.
I think there are some difficulties even translate from Chinese and not from English or even other versions.
Differences,
differences.
Say the seed and the offspring.
Seed and offspring.
What is the exact difference between them?
Difference between seed and offspring. A seed is something that you plant. Offspring usually is a person. It's true that sometimes seed can be interpreted as offspring, but the Hebrew word is seed. We'll see later in Galatians chapter 4, we'll see later. God said, and not to thy seeds, but to thy seed, which was Christ. Seed is interpreted then as the Lord Jesus Christ in Galatians 4. So seed and offspring, literally it's seed.
So what I mean is, most Chinese version translate these words into offspring in Chinese,
yes.
Other than seed.
Yes.
Because in Chinese, the seed very it refers to the plants.
Yes.
Of course, if it is a it is not the traditional way to say a seed as the offspring of a human being.
Yes.
We may say so, but not a good language.
Yes. But in God's word, in the Hebrew text, he refers to seed, which means the children that follow. In Genesis 3.15, in thy seed, Genesis 15, in thy seed, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed, in thy seed. It means in thy children, yes, but it says in thy seed. That's just the way the Bible uses the term. Other question? Yes, sir.
Give more meaning about our conception, okay?
Conception is when the egg cell and the sperm cell come together in the mother. We go back to birds and bees. You understand that English expression?
Why does swallow at conception? When the eggs and the come together,
yes.
You don't feel any pain. Huh?
That's right.
So, what does the whole statement mean?
The whole statement mean? Okay. What does the whole statement mean? It simply means, in the whole concept of birth, there's sorrow, and by conception. It goes together. There's no sorrow in conception necessarily, but it's the whole idea of the birth eventually. Apparently Eve had no children, many children. She had, and when she had children, apparently there was no sorrow in their conception or in their birth. But when sin entered, then there was sorrow and pain in the traveler. But the main thing is the difference between conception and childbearing. Two completely different things.
9 months
apart.
Usually.
Yes, you had a question or comment.
All of this time, you thought that that's women's punishment, that you have to suffer 9 months of childbearing. So his question is, there's no sorrow because of the inception. So it's not really a penalty in a way if you looked at it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
We thought all this time is childbearing. There's pain that came along with it.
通常我们以为是生小孩的时候的那种痛苦，那么为什么他那个心念的是说受孕的时候的那种痛苦，是不是一种审判性？
We didn't finish the verse though. You see the verse, thy sorrow, thy conception shall be multiplied. Is that what the verse says? Something like that? You have many, many children. What does it say?
It just says, with pain you will give birth. I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. NIV, yeah.
That's NIV?
Yeah, that's in NIV.
Yeah. So that's the thing we're talking about. In the King James Bible, it says 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. A desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. So, greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In other words, at first maybe you just had one or two children, very few children. Now, multiplication of sorrow, multiplication of conception.
据说多加增你的痛苦，可能刚开始是几个，后来就变成很多。
So that's theological interpretation.
Yeah. So in Hebrew, they use the English conception. What does that mean in Hebrew? Okay, they mean the whole period of the pregnancy and childbirth.
I don't have the Hebrew expression exactly, but I believe. It refers just like if the King James Bible has said, in thy conception. The beginning of the child's birth and the beginning of the process. Yes, over here.
The
lunch bell is going to ring soon, quickly.
Also, after the birth that they are growing up and
raising kids, a lot of sorrow there, I'm sure. I got five kids to prove it. Yes, go ahead.
The main problem is the time to start, I think you all agree, speaks fertilizer.
Yes.
But how long it lasts, it is our problem, and especially for the ladies.
Yes. That's true.
Such sorrow. Yeah. When did it start and when it is over?
That's interpretation, but we're talking now about translation. Afterward, at lunchtime, we can talk about interpretation.
Okay.
My question is there a difference, ladies, between conception and childbirth?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. NIV has it wrong. Okay. There it is. We'll see you after lunch.
All of them.